Guess Boogie Podcast contains explicit language and content that may not be suitable for some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Hi, welcome to the Kiss Boogie Podcast, where two married guys share stories of paranormal encounters, urban legends, true crime, and other scary things from around the world. My name is Andres.
And I'm Kevin.
And welcome.
Welcome. Today we have an audience.
Yes.
Hi, Brittany.
So our episode's coming out a little late. We had some technical difficulties in the middle of the week. Our internet was non-existent for 3 or 4 days from our internet company, and they had no idea what was wrong.
And I had homework. As a college student, I'm just so busy.
Wow.
That, and I need therapy, so.
So busy. Well, mentally busy.
Unrelated.
And mentally busy.
Unrelated. No, I haven't gone to therapy. I'm just, in general, I need therapy.
Same.
But yeah, I'm just so busy. The life of a student, because I'm only taking one class, but I'm just so busy. All the students are rolling their eyes at us.
Oh god, so busy you can't do laundry.
I'm so busy I can't do laundry.
Mm-hmm.
Or cook or do the dishes. I'm just,
or breathe sometimes.
I'm so busy. But what's going on with you besides that? I mean, it's been a whole month since we last
It's been recorded. 2 months for our English speakers.
We live together, so. True. It's been 2 months. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Welcome back.
Welcome. I went hiking today with a couple friends. Mm-hmm. With Brittany. She's here.
Yes.
Hanging out. I got burned. My face feels really hot right now.
You do look red.
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to look.
No, it's okay. I forgot that I've been using B vitamin on my face, and you have to wear sunscreen with B vitamin.
Mm-hmm.
It makes your skin... B. It makes your skin sensitive, and mm-hmm. I should have known better. That, and I put on retinol on my face at night, so I really should have known better.
Oh, yeah.
Period. So, the hike was... the view was great. It was really nice. The hike, there was no trail. Mm-hmm. You had to guess where to go, and it was really rocky. So
it was essentially just a big field.
Actually next to a creek, and you had to keep crossing. You had to keep. So what happened was, is like the creek would go up to like a ridge on one side, so it was like a cliff. So you knew that you had to be on the left side. There was no right side to the creek.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden the creek would switch and the ridge would be on the other side, so you would have to go across the creek and follow the trail on the other side. But all the plants are overgrown, all the trees mm-hmm. are overgrown, there's no trail markers, and it's full of rocks. So I felt like a little fucking baby deer, just fucking like my ankles kept fucking buckling over the rocks and shit.
Ew. Sick.
I felt like those modeling videos, modeling fails, where they're like walking the runway and their fucking ankles are just like...
Miss Tyra.
Yes.
Miss Tyra.
I'm glad I made it. There was no signal when we got out there. Absolutely no signal.
You try to...
FaceTiming
you. Yeah, you try to FaceTime me and I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't see you. I live in civilization.
Yeah.
But it was just, yeah.
It was an hour and a half away. There's a lot of dogs. That was fun.
Mm.
I didn't pet any other dogs. They looked mean.
Oh, sad.
Yeah.
Or
actually, we met this lady and her husband, or maybe it was her friend, in full rappelling uniform with two dogs. So I'm pretty sure they rappelled down the side of a cliff, mm-hmm. and then they brought their dogs down with them. Cute. They were training them how to rappel with them. Isn't that weird?
That dogs do sports or that they're forced to do sports. Yeah, that is.
Yes. Yeah, oh, that's kind of what I was getting to. So, I mean, and when you're this at the beginning of the trail, it says no sport rappelling here. So you can't rappel. Mm-hmm. But when you get further into the trail, you look up and there's like this huge mountain off to the side. It's like where the ridge, where the creek backs up and it's like a cliff. People were rappelling down and you could hear them talking to each other. It was like really echoey. So it was like we were walking and there was like a lot going on. There was other people, there was dogs, there was people rappelling down. It was just very different. It was a really cool experience. So I would definitely do it again. I want to take my parents, but I know that they'd break their ankles going out there.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Well, to any new listeners, welcome. I swear we don't just talk about hiking.
Yeah. I've gone the last 3 Sundays in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to be more healthy. It's 2021. We're going to try to be more healthy. We're going to try to, you know, eat better, look better, feel better, want better mentally and physically. So okay, that's the move. Okay. That's the move this year. This is the year of change. Things are going to like change. I know Kendall Jenner said that like 3 years ago, but like this is the year of change.
Okay.
You have no idea what I'm talking about.
I don't.
That's okay. You don't really understand some pop culture references.
Yeah, it's just as a college student, I'm just so
shut
wrapped
the
up.
Fuck up.
Just so annoying up in my studies.
Literally just started like what
in 3 January?
Months ago. Yeah, yeah. In January. You took a really long hiatus from college for a while.
Yep. If I graduate next year, it will be 10 years in the making. A 2-year degree. 10 years in the making.
No, I graduated.
Actually 9. It's 9 years.
Well, I don't think you should feel bad because I graduated high school in 2009 and I'm nowhere near getting to the end of a degree.
That's okay.
So maybe it'll happen one day. Who knows?
Yeah.
Anything else you have to add?
Before we jump into the stories?
Yes.
Not really. No.
Okay, so are you ready for what I have for you?
Yes, you go first this week.
Okay, so I go first. I wanted to talk about la leyenda, or the urban legend of El Charro Negro. And El Charro Negro is a very popular urban legend in Mexico. And I think it's almost at the same level as La Llorona, except charros exist only in Mexico for the most part.
And would you like to explain what a charro is?
I will get there soon. Okay. Thank you. And La Llorona is a woman in a white dress. Who doesn't know a woman in a white dress? So obviously,
yeah,
it's
heard of her.
She's more accessible to
others.
You know,
that was the second
people
episode,
and
right?
Cultures. Yes. Anyways,
okay.
Continuing. So that's why her legend is more popular. But El Charro Negro would be the second runner-up. Mm-hmm. So. And a charro basically is a cowboy. Not really a cowboy, but a cowboy. So in those times, yes, when charros existed, there were cowboys. And cowboys were just like the peasant versions of charros. Cowboys would wrangle animals. They would learn how to hunt and kill. And, you know, they would take care of all the livestock and get them from point A to point B and stuff like that. But charros were very specifically trained.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew how to use whips. They knew how to use swords. They knew how to wrangle animals. They always rode a big, expensive horse. And they wore their charro uniforms. And their charro uniforms consist of like the jacket, the really tight pants, the belt with the big buckle, the boots, and the big sombrero. And that's what mostly people see when you see a mariachi. They're wearing charro uniform.
Mm-hmm.
That's what mariachis wear. And so they're really ornate. They have like the embroidery. They have, sometimes they're encrusted with jewels and stuff like that. Swarovski crystals, whatever it may be. The point is that when you saw a charro, you knew that person had money because that suit cost money. And so did the horse.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was a status symbol. So they were kind of like cowboys, but kind of not like cowboys. They were like rich cowboys, I would
rich
say.
Rich cowboys.
Yes.
Fancy rich cowboys.
So, and a lot of people think that these El Charro Negro, like, kind of originated in indigenous villages because the indigenous people of Mexico saw these white people coming and colonizing their country, and who would they send out? They would send out the charros on their horses to wrangle these people, you know, like mistreat them. And so that's how this El Charro Negro got its fame. That's how a lot of historians think that it got its fame. It got started. It was because indigenous people kept seeing these charros come out, and so they kind of got a negative connotation associated with them in indigenous towns and indigenous culture.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very interesting researching about this.
Well, to be honest, I've never heard of this.
El Charro Negro?
Yeah.
Bitch, what the fuck?
I'm not a Yeehaw Mexican.
Yeah, you're a city Mexican.
I'm a city boy.
The legend says that when the sun starts to go down, people hasten their pace while praying. The reason? Nobody wants to meet the Charro Negro. El Charro Negro is one of Mexico's most popular and widely believed urban legends, next to the Llorona, of course. This is someone you definitely do not want to meet. Some of the first-hand accounts of dealing with this malignant entity are harsh and violent. This is an entity that will beat the shit out of you and leave you for dead. This entity receives its name from the clothes it he wears, or, you know, it wears. It wears a charro suit, an absolutely black suit with very embellished decorations of gold or silver, only made from the best fabric, thread, and jewels. A charro suit, for our listeners that aren't familiar with the term, is a style of suit that originates from Mexico. This type of horseman uniform is seen being worn by men or women in charreadas, festivals, or what mariachis wear during their performances with their large, elegant sombreros. These range from average work wear to more like simple charro wear to a very elaborate and expensive formal attire like what mariachis wear. He is always mounted on his elegant black horse with glowing red eyes. The malignant energy he commands around him is heart-stopping. It is said that El Charro Negro attacks people that are walking around alone at night. It is explained that people who are alone are easier to take advantage of, and their fear makes them more prone to making bad decisions. And it's said that El Charro Negro only appears in very rural areas. This, a callback to how, you know, like, they would show up, or the charros back then would show up to these indigenous villages and mistreat the people. It's only very rural areas where it's seen.
So that might be why I've never heard of it?
Yes, maybe.
Okay.
So anyways, the origin story of El Charro begins like this. El Charro Negro came from very humble beginnings. His parents loved him, but they could never seem to fulfill his every want and whim. He was a broke bitch with expensive tastes. He always liked to be very well dressed, and even in his adolescence, it said that he did not eat for days in order to save a few coins and be able to afford new clothes for himself. However, he was tired of his poverty. He resented it and resented his parents for being so poor. He would work from sunup to sundown, walking for hours and his hands full of dirt. As he grew older, his parents died. They left him alone in his misery. The situation in which this young man found himself decreased considerably. No matter how much money he made, it was never enough. His family and him already struggled with three people working, and now that he was alone, it was impossible. He was so desperate to get out of poverty that he decided to invoke the devil and strike a deal. It is not known how he managed it, but Lucifer appeared in front of him. Lucifer immediately knew what to offer such a greedy and ungrateful man. He immediately offered him amounts of money that he would not be able to spend in several lifetimes. The payment, though, was a soul in return. Of course, Charro Negro was haughty, proud, and brave. He gladly accepted it. When he realized that he was tired of spending his wealth, eventually, when he realized that he was tired of spending his wealth on women, gambling, and alcohol, a sense of loneliness washed over him. He could barely breathe. No one loved him for what he was, but for the riches he possessed. After so much time, El Charro had almost forgotten about the damn deal he made. Just when he had almost forgotten, the devil appeared to him to remind him that his hour was near. The fear invaded him to the deepest corners of his entrails when he remembered that his soul would have to go to hell. He began to hide. He sent his hacienda staff to put crosses all over the property and build a small chapel. However, the memory of the debt did not let him sleep or enjoy the few months he had left of life. So in a fit of fear, he took his best horse along with a bag containing a few pieces of gold and fled in the middle of the night so no one would see him leave. He did not count on the fact that the devil realized it, that the Charro Negro was breaking his word, so he appeared in front of him in order to take him away. He told him, "I was going to wait for you to die to collect our debt, but how you cowardly hide from me. I will take you right now." Without giving him the time to respond, the Charro Negro had nowhere to flee. His arms had begun to dry out and turn into dust, and his flesh to disappear. Only his charro suit remained on top of his bleached bones.
Hell no.
The devil continued with, I see that your beast is faithful to you. That is why it must be cursed just like you and condemned to accompany you on your journey to hell. Although from time to time I want you to do something for me, you are going to charge my debtors. If you do your job well, I will let the man who accepts the bag of gold coins that you bring take your place. Since then, the man was condemned to suffer countless torments in hell and leave there only to collect from those who have outstanding debts with Lucifer. This only with the hope that some night, someone ambitious as he was, would be betrayed by greed and thus take his place as a charonado.
Okay. Kind of like a... what's it called? Is it the Punisher from the Marvel comics?
Yeah. Spawn.
Wait, Brittany said yeah to me. Okay, so Brittany's right.
Okay. Well, it's more like Spawn to me. He's like an agent of the devil. Or who else? There's Knight Rider. No. Nicolas Cage. What's his name? Ghost Rider. There we go. So Ghost Rider. Punisher? The Punisher.
Ghost Rider. Okay, yes. Brittany's right.
Yes.
True.
So this is where it kind of differs. Some people in some areas believe that El Charro Negro is, you know, this spirit that was taken to hell and, like, goes and collects debts.
Mm-hmm. Funny how there's a Christian theme to this.
Well, I mean, Mexico's very Catholic.
I know, that's very what Catholic. I'm saying. But if the story originated from indigenous people, there had to have been some crossover somewhere. But I did have a quick question before you continue again. Where... Are there specific areas of Mexico where there's stories more found?
In rural areas. Oh, so I would say areas that are, north. I mean, it doesn't matter, Veracruz, Durango, Chihuahua, just anywhere that's rural and out, you know. And it's like, yes, your parents are from the city, so you don't really know what it looks like. But like most other parts of Mexico, people wear a very traditional dress, working, and they ride horses, they live in the country. And so I feel like probably seeing a charro out there is not out of the ordinary.
Well, I did see a charro in Mexico City, but yeah, I know what you mean. But they're usually done for like
festivals.
Yeah, like entertainment or like live music. Like nobody really. Well, like I said, in the U.S., like in the city, you see like regular like jeans and t-shirt type of people. But like on the country where they actually have to work on like farmland and stuff with animals, they're more dressed for the occasion, I guess.
Well, it's because and you have to understand that charros are trained for charreadas. Where they make the horse dance and it gallops in place and it sits down God, like for them. Yes, Midori exactly. Yes, they were trained to do charreadas. That's what they did. And so, like, I think now it's kind of a dying art. It's not as popular as it used to be. People don't really get trained for that anymore. So.
Like danzas folclóricos?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Just like that.
Interesting.
I don't know. Maybe we could ask Midori.
We should
have a segment, tell her to teach us things. I mean, because she rode her horses and she was crazy. And she danced. In her traditional dress. She does
a little bit of everything. Yep. She's a triple threat. She is Britney Spears.
Mexican Britney Spears.
She's Mexican Britney Spears.
And okay. Suki. So, now that I give a little bit of backstory, I have a few stories about experiences with El Charro Negro.
I'm scared.
So, my information for the first part came from La Leyenda del Charro Negro, México Desconocido, which was an article that I found online. Mm-hmm. And
I think I've used that source before.
Yes. And then the next one was Aterrador Conoce la Verdadera Leyenda del Charro Negro, El Heraldo de México.
Would you like to translate that title?
No, because it's a proper noun. So, I'm not going to translate it.
What a proper
noun. I don't want to translate it. Okay, please don't make me. Don't make me.
Just continue.
I'm the no yo no sabo kid, please.
I can't believe you don't know what a proper noun is. That's what I'm most surprised about. But go ahead.
I was just giving any excuse I could. Okay. So this next keep in mind all of these stories that I'm about to say were in Spanish originally. So I had to listen to the YouTube video, type it out real quick, and then go back and translate it. Okay. So, this story was from a video called Encuentros Escalofriantes con el Charro Negro by the channel Voices del Abismo. What the fuck? Voces del Abismo. I said that in English. Voices del Abismo. So, Voices of the Abyss.
I was just kidding about trying to think. Sorry, it's because as a student, I just finished. I just finished a really big essay, and I had to translate French titles into Spanish, or no, into English. So now I'm like, never mind. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm gonna tell these stories as like they were told in the videos. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good evening, everyone. I wanted to tell a story of something that happened to me years ago. It happened in Reynosa, Tamaulipas. To be more specific, it happened in the suburb called Quila Cerdán. This happened to a mechanic that loved to party. Drinking and staying out late was his favorite thing to do. He loved drinking and partying. It was his vice and how he spent most of his paycheck every couple weeks.
Ooh.
Yeah, so he was broke.
He was a party boy.
Every place he was invited to, he was there and drunk. One day, he was invited to a party in the neighborhood of Las Calabazas. At around 1 a.m., he set out on his way home with a bottle of liquor in his hand. He decided to walk home. He had walked the path before during the day and knew the area well. When he was finally entering a suburb, everything was a little strange for a weekend. The streets were empty and it was eerily quiet. He began to walk faster. Everything else seemed to be normal. All the lights were on and stuff like that. The same houses and familiar lights greeted him while he walked down the street. Slowly, he could hear the clomping of a tall horse, which to him was normal. A lot of rancheros lived close by, and just like him, after a party, would sometimes ride their horses home. When the clomping of the horse finally got close enough, he could see a man in a charro outfit, black and ornate with a huge sombrero, obviously very expensive. The embroidery in gold glinted in the streetlights, although he couldn't see his face. The charro greeted, "Buenas noches, amigo." To which Juan had no choice but to return the greeting and offer a drink from his bottle. The charro declined. The sombrero casted a shadow on his face from being directly under the streetlight, so he couldn't get a clear look at him. They walked together for a few streets quietly, Juan all the while drinking deeply from the bottle of liquor he had in his hand, until the charro finally spoke. "Juan," began the charro, "are you coming back home from the party this early?" Juan said, "How did you know that?" There was something off about this man. The energy around him was dark, foreboding. The hair on the back of Juan's neck was on end. And he said, "Because I know everything." Juan hurried his pace, but they were still pretty far from his home. As they walked, the charro told him very personal things about his life. Something only someone close to him would know. That just scared him even worse. After talking to Juan about his personal life for several minutes, the charro ended this discourse by saying, "Juan, your grandmother was a witch, and now that she is dead, she is with me." Before he knew it, the bottle of liquor in Juan's hands shattered on the road next to him. He had let go of it and took off running. Juan didn't know if it was because of the fear he felt, but the road was stretching out in front of him. He felt like he was running through syrup and couldn't get away fast enough, as if something was trying to keep him there. Somehow, he was able to make it to an acquaintance's house. Everyone was obviously asleep, but he didn't care. He banged on the door very loudly until everyone in the house woke up and let him in. His friend, his acquaintance, and his wife were at the door, and he rushed past them, trying to come in, not even able to catch his breath. He was so scared the drunkenness and buzz he had was gone. He was completely sober because of the fear. When his friend was finally able to calm him down, he was able to tell the husband and the wife what had just happened to him. This scared the husband and the wife enough for them to offer him a place to sleep at their house or ride home. All three of them knew that man walking next to Juan on his way home was none other than the devil himself. Stemming from this dark situation that happened for years, Juan was home before dark and never drank another drop of alcohol. Till the day that Juan died, he lived in fear. He always remembered the last words of the charro as he ran away. He said, "Soon I'm coming for you too, Juan."
Oh, wow.
So that was story one.
This reminds me... Sorry, I don't want to get off topic, but this reminds me of a story that my mom once told me about her grandpa that supposedly nobody knows what he passed away from, but I guess in the family, they just say that he died of fright. Like, say, murió de susto. I don't know what that means, but...
He died of a scare.
Mm-hmm.
Something scared him so bad he passed away from it.
Well, and so basically the story is that, or no, maybe it was my mom. Okay, so I guess he would walk home or walk to work every day and then walk home.
Oh wait, well let me just say this really quick.
Okay.
It is very common in Mexico to walk everywhere.
Yeah.
Some of the roads and some of the ranches are like dirt roads, and it's like literally not even a mile to get anywhere. And so, I mean, this is really common for people to be walking around at night. When I used to go visit Mexico as a kid, we would walk everywhere, even at night.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be in the middle of the night, and then, you know, or like 11:30, and my mom would be like, okay, let's go home. We're going to grandma's house, right? So we would walk the streets in the dark. I mean, there's not really like serial killers to be wary of. There's not people whipping around in cars in the middle of the night. It's like they're very small communities. They're very tight knit. Everybody knows each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it like things like that happen here don't really happen over there.
Yeah.
And so it's very common for people to be trusting enough to walk 6 blocks down to their house, to walk 2 miles down to their house. It's not unheard of for somebody to leave their house for the day and go walk to the mall and come back because it's close and there's not really a danger.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, continue.
Well, where my mom's family is from is Aguascalientes. I mean, I mentioned this in a previous episode before too, but it's very rural where she's from or where her family's from. But basically, like, her grandpa would walk to work and then at night come walk back home.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess one day that he, this guy in a horse, that's funny that you mentioned that you describe it the way you do, because he said that a guy, like a guy riding a horse, rode his horse next to him, and he's like, hey, do you need a ride to your house? And it was already nighttime. And he was said, he was like, sure, I guess. And he climbed onto the horse. And then he said that when he climbed onto the horse, that there was just something off about the guy. And that he saw like a tail come out of the guy's shirt. And it looked like a pointed, you know, stereotypical devil tail. So I guess my mom's grandma or grandpa like screamed out like, ay Dios mío, like, oh my God. And I guess the guy got pissed and he pushed him off and he hit his head. And I guess when he woke back up a few hours back, that he was by himself.
Yeah.
But I guess when he got back home, my mom says that according to the family, that he acted weird after that and that he died a bit after.
Yeah.
But I guess something that scared him
that
so much.
That was in Charro Negro, because that's his calling card. Oh my God. He either comes, he pulls up to you in the middle of the night and he offers you money.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'll be like, he'll offer you a deal like the devil and say, hey, here's a bag of money, take it. Or he'll say, hey, get on my horse, I'll give you a ride. And the horse will fucking ride your ass away to hell. He takes you to hell. Yeah. So those are a couple of the things that he does.
Oh my God. I'm gonna ask my mom specifically. She's told me the story before, but that's how I remember it. But let me ask my mom and
so
we'll get back to you guys.
It sounds like he had a run in with the Charro Negro. That's exactly like what he does.
I mean
that's his calling card.
Oh, so, no. This is not something to mess with.
No. Okay, so the next story is Historias de Terror en Encuentros con el Charro Negro. Relatos de Miedo is the channel. So the neighbors of the neighborhood of Francisco Madero can vouch with 100% certainty that they were visited by el Charro Negro. He arrived in the middle of the night on a tall black horse while he sang a tune to collect a soul. He was seen and heard on a street named Rio Presidio, where a person had died that very day. The time this incident happened, the houses in that neighborhood all had mango trees in front. It was a very green street. Well, one of those nights, many of the neighbors on the street were awoken in the middle of the night. A galloping could be heard on the cobblestones on the road outside their homes, accompanied by the singing. It was not uncommon to have ranchers come by on horses, although it was very uncommon for them to come by this late and be so loud. The streets were alone and the neighbors were very nosy, so of course all the neighbors looked out of their windows to see who it was. A charro in a black suit and on a big black horse was coming by. The shadow the sombrero cast on his face made it impossible for anyone to make out who it was. He just rode by in his elegant charro suit and disappeared. After about an hour, all the neighbors were awoken again with the clomping of the horse and the singing. They all looked out of their homes. This time there was something off. A darkness and evil hung in the air. On the back of the horse was what almost looked like a body draped over. All the neighbors got very nervous and went back to sleep. That morning, the street was abuzz with rumors and speculations of who that had been the night before. They got their answer later that day. One of their neighbors had passed away in the night. The neighbors that lived next door to him say that the charro stopped in front of his house and was there a while. He had come to collect him for the devil. Sometimes to this day, they can still hear the galloping of the horse and the singing down the street and in the surrounding neighborhood. No one looks out of their windows anymore, though.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, okay, to clear something up, too. In Mexico, all houses have screen windows and screen doors. Mm-hmm. There is no air conditioning in rural areas. There's no such thing as AC.
Yeah, well, so, even in Mexico City, AC is kind of something
that only big stores have it. Like, if you go to the mall or a restaurant or something, right?
It's definitely a luxury.
Yes.
Because even houses that have been there for, like, centuries, they've... And it never gets too hot, and it never gets too cold to have too cold to have AC anyway.
Well, if it gets cold, you have there's usually an oven that you put inside the house that you put wood in. Mm-hmm. My grandma had one of those old style ovens. But anyways, so it's very common for people to have screen windows and doors, and you just lock them up at night, and you leave them open. You let the breeze come through. That's how, I mean, when I was a kid in Mexico, that's exactly how it was at night. Mm-hmm. I mean, nothing was going to come get through the door or the window because it was like it was like metal bars on the windows and doors. But in front of the metal bars, there was like the screen wrapped around it. So it was like very decorative and nice and stuff like that. So it wasn't like cheap by any means. But it definitely would keep the animals and like people trying to get into your house and stuff out. Mm-hmm. But it's true, like if an animal walked by your window at night, or if somebody walked by down the street going home in the middle of the night, you definitely could hear it. The sound was coming in your window.
Yeah.
And it sounded like they were right next to you. So, I mean, that's another thing that we have to understand, that it's it was probably very loud with this horse coming clomping down the street and somebody singing. So
those houses are like, I'm built different.
Yeah. Okay, my last story. Encuentro con el Charro Negro, Historias de Terror, by the channel Relatos de Horror.
Okay.
This story happened in the 70s in a small town in the state of Guerrero. It was the town of Tlapehuala. And you know what I find really strange, too, mm-hmm. is that every single one of these stories, they name the town, the neighborhood, the street, the person. It's like there is like no... They changed the name for the privacy of the people. No, it was like, it was La Señora María and blah, blah, blah on this street and this house. It's like very specific. So it's
it might also be related to something how you were talking about how they're very small communities. So they may give specific locations. So it's like, oh, I know that place, or oh, I know that person.
But I feel like it just gives weight to the validity of the story because they're actually they're like being very specific.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been times like when I've been in Mexico, they're like, oh, they say that this lady like appears down the street. Well, if you go down the street and talk to the people that live there, they're like, oh yeah, like that lady, la del tacón, las del tacones. So in San Bernardo, there was supposedly at night, in the middle of the night, when everybody's asleep, they hear a woman walking up and down the cobblestone street in her heels. Clock, 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 walking up and down the street. And every person in that neighborhood says, yep, I hear her at night walking in front.
It's weird how it's so normal. Does that make sense? Like, they don't question whether or not...
Well, they don't come out of their motherfucking houses.
Like, they know what it is, and they confirm it as just part of reality, I guess.
Yeah. See, it just goes back to like how I was telling you that like my parents in Mexico are completely different people from here. Mm-hmm. Here, supernatural stuff doesn't happen. But when we go to Mexico, they're like, don't whistle at night. Don't look out that fucking window. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't say that. Apologize to your grandma. We're going to church. They're like completely different people.
Yeah.
And I think it just goes with that. It goes hand in hand with that because it's like, things seem so much more real. Supernatural things, superstitious things seem so much more real there than they ever will here.
Or they seem closer enough to
yes
affect you.
There's another thing. Another thing that, like, growing up in my parents are from Sardinas in Durango, and supposedly they say that where the houses are now in that town, it used to be a cemetery, but there was a big flood. Now this flood has actually been recorded. It really did happen in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
It washed the bodies out of the graves.
Hell no.
So when they rebuilt the town, they rebuilt some of the houses on where the cemetery used to be. And so the now cemetery is actually moved to another side of a creek, an arroyo.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the people that live in those houses say that weird things happen there. Like, there's a house where there you can hear at night. Nobody, that house has been abandoned for years.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid. But you can hear somebody washing their dishes, like, out in their pila, like, where they have their water. Like, you can hear somebody, like, you know, like, washing, rubbing on the dishes, and, like, they're clanking together and stuff like that, and then they put them away. Hell so no. It's really fucking weird. There was another...
They still gotta do chores?
Yeah, even in the afterlife.
Hell no.
But you're too busy for that, because you're a college student.
You know, as a college student, I probably won't have enough time for that.
There was also this one time that my cousins, their mom was having surgery. And so there, you have to drive like 6 hours to like a big town for a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So she was having surgery in Torreon. So maybe not 6 hours, but it's definitely a few hours away. You have to stay overnight if you're going to go that far. And so she was getting a medical procedure done, and they were staying at one of their aunt's house. Well, the youngest one still wore diapers. And so they said that they forgot the diapers. So they were like, their aunt was like, go get the diapers from your house. Like, it's fine. Well, they talk about how when they got there, like, the doors kept swinging open, the lights were turning on and off, like, something wasn't letting them out, like, the doors were locked. Obviously, who knows if this is real, because they were kids. One of them was an older teenager, probably like 19, 20. Mm-hmm. The younger brother was like 13, 14, and the daughter, the little girl, was probably like 4 or 5.
Oh,
but
wow.
Supposedly, like, they were super scared that night. They didn't really sleep when they got to their aunt's house. And things like that thing specifically had never happened to them before in that house until their mom was gone. And then it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of the houses that supposedly is on the side of the town that used to be the cemetery.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Have we learned nothing from poltergeists?
Oh, and I can be honest with you and tell you that there were some times. So what people do is you can't really afford concrete. And it's really hard to find concrete when you live out in the rural areas like that. Mm-hmm. So what people do is they throw water out on top of the dirt, and they use their broom to brush it. And after you do that so many times, it starts turning into adobo. It gets really hard,
mm-hmm.
and it compacts. So at that point, you really don't need concrete anymore, because basically you've made adobo in front of your house.
Mm-hmm.
Adobo. Adobe? Adobe? You know what I'm talking about, right? Oh, like those blocks of mud? No,
I pictured it while you were saying, but I think...
That's the spice.
Not the spice. Okay.
It's the adobe. Yes. So they harden the mud outside of their houses. Well, there was a few times where people would be sweeping up in front of their houses, mm-hmm. and they would sweep up a femur.
Hell no.
Or a vertebrae. Or a piece of a phalange.
How'd that get in there?
Yeah. So, I mean, this literally still happens to this day in that town.
Hell no.
Okay. Anyways, back to my story. So this story happened in the 70s in a small town in the state of Guerrero. It was known as the town of Tlapehuala. In those times, there was a little bar in the outskirts of town close to the main road. It is said that the most beautiful women of the town worked there. They were blonde and blue-eyed, is what the story says. Mm-hmm. Military men, policemen, travelers, and all kinds stopped there because they knew of the women that worked at the bar. They all made very good money, obviously. On a very stormy night, right before 10 o'clock at night, they were all getting ready to close, and the storm was getting worse. They all wanted to go home. Suddenly, the wind blew very hard, and the door burst open. Standing there was a man making his way in. Hello, sir. We're getting ready to close, said one of the young women. This guy was wearing tall, very shiny riding boots, a charro shirt, pants, a belt with a golden buckle, and a whip at his hip. He was handsome, tall, slender, and fair-skinned. Again, the young woman said, "Sorry, sir, we're closing." He said, "I heard you the first time. Where's the owner of this place?" He followed up his questioning with another and asked, "How much do you all make a night, including the owner?" Very strange question to ask the people that work there, right?
Mm-hmm.
No one answered. One of the girls ran quickly to the back and got the owner. A couple minutes later, the owner walked out of the back room and greeted the stranger. "Good evening, sir. Welcome. I'm very sorry to inform you, but we're closed." And the guy said, "Yes, go ahead and close the bar. I want you and your women to serve me all night tonight." In his hands, he showed shiny gold coins. "I'll pay you handsomely." All the women looked around at each other and finally all agreed to stay for him. They all wanted to make a good amount that night. The remaining guests finished their drinks quickly and were ushered out. From this point, the story comes from one of the young women that worked at the bar that night and remembers very well what happened to them.
What the hell is going on here on this day? Imagine if someone shows up 2 minutes before you're supposed to close. I'd be like, "I'm sorry, I'm going home."
I mean, I'm not staying. There's no labor laws there. You don't.
No, but as a personal, like personally, if someone did that, I'd be like, "No, I can't."
Well, you have to remember too that in a lot of these towns, there's no jobs.
I don't care. I'm tired. I'm going home. Goodbye.
Okay. Well, these people are built different than we are.
They're like, "I'm built different."
Yeah. So this is from her point of view. "That night after we closed the bar, we stayed with the stranger. He liked drinking the expensive stuff and kept asking for shots. He would ask for a shot and ask us to dance for him. One by one, he would give us 3 gold coins. We'd give him a shot and then we'd dance for him. Then we would walk over and deposit our coins into 4 big clay pots that were sitting on the counter. This happened over and over that night. There were 11 of us plus the owner, so the pots started to fill up pretty quickly. At the end of the night, we would split the pots evenly between all of us. That was the plan. We spent the rest of the night dancing and drinking. He even slept with 3 of my coworkers. During the night,
Same night?
Yeah, he was, you know, partying, drinking, fucking, I guess.
3 times? Oh my gosh.
Anyways. During the night, he would ask us about the residents of the town and if he had any and if we had any information about some of the people that had moved away and no longer lived there. He made it sound like he knew them personally.
Oh no. Because he did.
He would ask us a lot of inconsequential questions that sometimes made no sense to us. When he would see us confused with his line of questioning, he would laugh at us. He would mock us. It was the funniest thing. It was about 3 a.m. when I noticed that the clay pots were very full. Wow, it was a lot of money. I kind of noticed that my boss was sort of uneasy in the corner. I walked up to her and asked her what was going on. With fear in her voice, she said, "Have you noticed that the clay pots are full of coin?" Very excitedly, I said yes. And she continued, "Where is he getting all this money from? He keeps reaching in his pocket and pulling them out, but there is no way he should be able to fit that much money in his pockets." My stomach dropped. I knew it. The whole time I knew something was wrong. The owner continued, "He has drank an impossible amount too. He hasn't gone to relieve himself once since he's got here." My stomach just dropped further. I was so scared. "He is the devil," she said. "We are in the presence of the devil." She finished saying this as the man's face snapped over to look at us, and he said, "Hey, what are you whispering about over there? The party's over here."
Hell no.
We unwillingly we unwillingly walked over and continued the party. I was dying of fright. I didn't want any of his coins anymore. At 5 a.m., the man stood up and said, "It's time for me to go. I love spending time here. I'm going to have to come back and take you ladies with me to a special place I know."
Uh-oh.
He walked to the door and it burst open again, just as it had when he walked in. A huge black horse stood at the other side of the entrance. Its eyes glowed red and it breathed vapors. We were all dying, but did our best to keep our composure. The smell of sulfur filled the air. He turned as he walked out the door and said, "Remember, you all belong to me now. I'll be back for you all."
Hell no.
He let out the most maniacal laugh. His legs, they stretched and got longer. He barely had to lift his leg to mount the horse. Then suddenly the horse took off at an unbelievable speed, emitting sparks from its hooves as it ran away.
Excuse me?
We all just stared at the door for a long time. The boss finally broke the silence and said, "Ladies, it's too late for you all to walk home and we're already really drunk. Stay with me tonight and we'll split the money in the morning." None of us wanted to walk out there knowing that that fucking thing, whatever it was out there.
So was the money real?
Wait, still okay, going.
Sorry, I thought it was over.
At around 1 p.m., I heard the other girls waking up. I didn't really sleep and neither did my coworkers. When we made our way to the pots to split the winnings, there was absolutely no coins in them.
Oh my God.
They were filled with horse shit. That this excrement emitted the smell of sulfur. That was it. That was the moment we fully understood that what had happened. We had danced with the devil all night. Some of us screamed, some of us cried, some prayed, but we all went home empty-handed. That bar never opened up again. That night was the last night the bar would ever operate. Several days later, I found out that the women that had slept with him had completed suicide. Nothing was ever the same.
Oof. Big oof.
Yes.
That was one of the biggest oofs, honestly.
Yes. I tried really hard to find this story that I listened to like a year ago. It was so good. It was about this guy that was walking home in the middle of the night. And the charro offered him money because he was very poor, but he was a very proud person. And he refused. And the charro started whipping him.
Hell no. Sir, I don't know.
So literally this guy was walking home being whipped on his back by the charro. All the people in the town started turning on the lights in their houses and they would open their doors, obviously like the screen doors. Everybody in that fucking town watched him bleed out of his back and kept getting whipped until he walked into his house, but everybody was too scared to come out and help him because they knew it was a charro negro.
Oh my God.
I wanted to tell that story so bad, but I could not find it. That story was creepy. And that guy died. He died. And there is record of that guy dying because of his injuries, because of losing blood. And there was like links and stuff.
Hell no.
Yeah.
Oh my God. We'll put that down on another thing we won't mess with. Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
So if you know what's good for you and you're in Mexico, don't ever walk around by yourself at night.
Just avoid all
rural areas.
Evil fancy cowboys.
Yep. Fuck those evil fancy cowboys.
Wow.
And that's the story of El Charro Negro.
Good job. I've never heard of that. That's crazy. I mean, I guess I have. I'm really curious. I'm gonna call my mom.
Yeah, you probably should.
Brittany, did you enjoy that?
It was wonderful. Thank you.
Good job. Good job. Okay.
What do you have for a palate cleanser?
Palate cleanser stuff. Okay. I always preface this by saying that these are just thoughts that occur to me throughout the day. So sometimes it don't make sense, love. So I have no way to segue into the next, okay? First one. I miss going to parties where straight guys would comment on the music and say, "Oh my God, this song is on FIFA." You guys remember those things? You guys remember?
No, I never went to clubs or parties.
Brittany.
Yeah.
I remember that. It's like, they'd be like, "Oh, dude, I know this song." They play the song on FIFA.
They play the song on FIFA, and I'm like,
they play the song on 2K. It's a fucking lame ass song.
Yeah, yes.
Don't stop believing.
Don't stop. Oh, no.
We already have Kyle. Shut the fuck up.
Okay, next topic. Clean. Next topic. One time when I was in high school, I got really, really high and I watched Click with my parents and I cried.
Oh my God.
First of all, why the fuck would you watch an Adam Sandler movie?
Adam Sandler movie made you cry?
Ew. Hold on.
You know what my problem is with Adam Sandler?
Hold on.
Every time he makes a movie, he is mediocre.
Oh.
He is not worth a shit, and he always gets like the 25-year-old wife. Why is that?
He's
bitch,
projecting.
You are 50. Find yourself a 50-year-old actress that needs a job.
This was not the point of that.
Okay, well, anyways, fuck Adam Sandler.
This is
fuck that turkey neck motherfucker.
This is the We Hate Adam Sandler podcast.
Yeah, fuck him. No, and Will Ferrell too. I don't like him either.
Who's the other one?
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Jim Carrey.
I mean, I'm not gonna argue with that.
Actually, funny story. There's a girl on, or the lady on TikTok that looks just like Jim Carrey, and her comedy is just like Jim Carrey, and it's kind of cool because she's female. And I'm like, wow, if this was Jim Carrey, I really wouldn't care. But since she's female, she's doing the thing. And I'm like, I like her.
Okay.
People keep saying that that's like his secret love child because she literally looks just like him.
She's a girl boss. Yes. Girl boss.
Boss babe.
She wore that clothes like that.
MLM.
Anyway. Next topic. At work, we watch a lot of... There's only a few channels that we're allowed to put on TV because people get mad. But one of them is like the Food Network. The Food Channel?
Food Network. The Food Network.
Food Network.
We're not even supposed to watch that one.
No way.
Yeah. Technically, we're not allowed to.
We do all the time. But sometimes we change it when we get too hungry. But the other day, I was talking to my coworkers. I was like, imagine if I was a judge on one of these shows. Chopped? Imagine if I was a judge on Chopped. Can you believe what type of judge I'd be? I'd be like, this looks great, but I hate tomatoes. So I'm just going to scoot this out. I'm just going to scoot this out of the way.
I don't like salsa. I don't like tomatoes. I don't like onions.
I got expensive taste.
Peppers.
Like the charro negro.
Yeah. Oh. I'm sorry. Actually, I have one more thing to add about my story. Supposedly, people say now, the believers in El Charro Negro, they say that every time he appears, he's never the same person.
Oh my God.
Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because
he's based on your inner fear.
That is a terrible guess. No. Because there are so many sinners and so many debtors that owe the devil money or that owe the devil their souls
mm-hmm.
that
They keep swapping out.
So it's a new charro every time.
Like you said, that one guy can take his place.
Yes.
Wild for that one. They're wild for that one.
Anyways, okay. Back to the bath cleanser. Keep going.
Okay, so... Oh, fuck. I was supposed to save and screenshot this thread, but someone was tweeting about how Hans Christian Andersen was gay. Have you heard about this?
Hans Christian Andersen? Like the storybook writer?
Yes. He wrote, like, The Little Mermaid and, like, The Snow Queen... So I guess...
Frozen?
Yeah, that's based off the Snow Queen.
Oh, wait, you're talking... Don't pay attention to me. I'm done.
Okay.
You're talking about the actual stories.
I guess he was... Supposedly, he was gay, and that The Little Mermaid was supposed to represent himself and how she gave up her voice and identity to fit into this world that she thought she wanted to be in.
All the best stories are gay stories. I'm sorry.
What? Isn't that crazy?
Can I just add, though, why is it that every time there's a gay character, they kill them or they kill their love interest or they have a terrible life?
There's actually a YouTube video that I watched about something like that.
Yes. They can never be happy in any piece of media. Like, there is a gay character, an LGBTQ character.
Yeah.
They're like the person that... Something fucking terrible happens to them, or they die, or their partner dies.
Or they're meant as, like, a secondary character.
Yes.
Or a character that's meant, like, as the comic relief.
Yes.
Like, that one guy from Will and Grace. I forget.
I don't watch...
Oh, I don't either. I was hoping...
I was going to say something, but I don't want to be disrespectful. But I don't watch those kinds of shows.
Oh.
Those kinds of shows.
Excuse me. Yeah, back to Adam Sandler.
And like Friends? Who the fuck watches Friends?
Whitney is going to be very
okay, angry. Well, Whitney knows that I hate Friends and I don't get it.
Okay, two more things, actually.
Okay, hurry.
One time... Okay, so the class that I'm taking right now, because I'm such a college student. It's philosophy.
I'm so tired of you.
It's philosophy.
Uh-huh.
My professor, I've told you this before. I've complained about this before. My professor docked me points on my weekly essay because I was arguing with the philosopher.
He docked you points because...
because I was arguing with the philosopher. Okay, so the whole point was that I was supposed to read about a philosopher and then talk about where our thoughts merge. And instead...
said, we do not merge because he's a dumbass.
Okay, not my exact words, but basically, it was Rene Descartes. And I was just talking about the holes in his theory, and who am I to not expose that?
You're a college student. Obviously, you have to. I'm a
college student. It's my job.
Yeah.
Wow. It's my job to be doing the thinking.
Wow. Moving on.
So.
Last thing.
Which is very character, like, in character of me. Yes. As a Sagittarius, it is my job to fight people. Another time, last topic, I swear. One time, I bullied 23andMe into changing something on their app.
Oh, I remember that.
Ooh, I think it was on Twitter too. And I was like, 23andMe, what the fuck is this? And they're like, we'll look into this. And then like 2 days later, they changed it. I was like,
wasn't it? They were talking about Mayan people, but they had an Aztec calendar. Yes.
Okay. So maybe it's because they are not familiar with the different cultures and peoples of indigenous America, but they were like, learn how to read the Mayan calendar. And then they showed a picture of the Aztec calendar, yes, the sun that. Calendar. And I'm like, excuse me? So I screenshotted it and I told them, and then 2 days later they fixed it. And I checked, like, it just reminded me because I was looking at it, because sometimes they get alert like, oh, two relatives are now available or something changed. Like that. Yeah.
We've changed our, you know, algorithm.
So, since I have indigenous DNA, it shows up that section. Like, that's the very first, one of the first section that shows up. And I noticed that they changed it to the correct Mayan calendar. And I'm like, well, we love that for that.
You did that.
My impact.
You did that.
So,
you, a college student.
Me. See, as
you weren't even
student,
a college student then either.
I really wasn't.
So you were really just working, mm-hmm. just doing extracurricular.
Yeah, I was thinking for free.
For free. What do you mean? You're the one that pays for the college classes. So really, you're paying to think.
Oh, true. Why should I? The fuck? They should pay me. They should pay me to think.
Okay. Speaking of this, so I just have to bring it up. And how petty I am. Because one time when I was working,
you do tell me working. Why,
my supervisor, this was years ago too, my supervisor says, hey, pop quiz. Can anyone tell me the answer to this, this, and this?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I knew the answer because I'm a bad bitch, right?
Okay.
But I said, I don't pay you tuition. How about you just tell me the answer? I work here. I'm not your student.
He was like, dang it. And then he went into his car and they're like, damn, those are the questions I'm stuck on.
Actually, it was... Yes, that man. That man. Brittany knows exactly who it was.
I'm going to have to ask.
Were you there when I did that?
No, but do you remember when I called out Pooley about the cigarette counts?
Yes.
Brittany's a Sagittarius too. So it is her job to fight as well.
Brittany is the most honest and kind person, but you fuck with her and she's done. You're dead to me.
Brittany do be thinking and for free. She do be thinking for free.
That Kali Uchi song is Brittany's fucking theme song. She walks somewhere and that song plays out of a speaker. Who knows? It's just playing.
Out of the angels.
Yeah.
The angels trumpet, one would say.
Oh my god, El Charro Negro. Please stop. Get out of my house.
Scary.
Why are you summoning him in here?
Oh my god, speaking of summoning, can we get to my...
Yes, story? I'm excited. I'm waiting.
Okay.
I'm waiting. I think I know what you're going to talk about.
I'm kind of glad that I waited for me to go last, because this was scary. That's why the other day I was like, hey, Don't turn the lights off. Were you aware of that? Because I was... Okay, let me jump into it.
I need to tell people on the podcast.
What?
Lately, shit has been kind of weird in our house. Like, the vibes have been kind of weird in our house.
Maybe that's because I'm so stressed.
Maybe, is it just me? Because I don't...
I'm so stressed as a college student. That's the vibe.
I'm printing our divorce papers right now. I can't fucking stand your ass.
Is there a count? Who's keeping count of this?
Jesus Christ. I'm sure one of our listeners will let us know how many times you
said that. They're going to email us and just be like 17.
Please let us know how many times Kevin said that.
No, don't.
Now you're self-conscious about it. Well, anyways.
Brittany, would you like to sit over here?
I am sitting over here.
I have had the worst fucking dreams the last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wake up in the middle of the night and I have this irrational primal fear in my belly that there's something in the hallway and it's looking at me.
Well, quit playing.
So, yes, we do sleep with our doors open. I have been turning on the closet light while I sleep when I wake up in the middle of the night. And I don't know. It's just been really weird.
Well, you're talking about how you had like almost like the sleep paralysis thing.
Yes, I did almost have sleep paralysis. Now, I don't know if this is like a side effect of me tapering off my depression medication, which was the SSRI. Right. Or if it's just like something weird's happening in the house. I think it's a combination of both, just because they like to look for people that are very susceptible in their times of unrest.
That's true.
More susceptible.
I would be.
You're doing this to the household. How could you do this with the family?
Well, I got to get my education, so they got to put a hold on that. Put a pin on it real quick.
Okay, but anyways, keep going with your story. Let's go. I'm excited to hear about this.
Ooh, me too. Even though I wrote it. So my topic is black eyed kids or black eyed children. Do you know what this is?
No.
Really?
No. Listen, you were going to be scared. You were going to want children even less than you do now.
No, I've seen plenty of horror movies to know that. If you got black eyes, it's not good. So
true. Okay, so my sources were Wikipedia, a historical mysteries article by Prince Petropia, Reddit, specifically a subreddit r/black-eyed-kid-stories.
Fuck that Reddit thread.
It's actually pretty dead. It's not as active as like No Sleep. The Business Standard article by Maria Mawson, a YouTube video by Tales from the Dark, YouTube video by Strange Chronicles from the Graveyard Shift, a Rare article by Mariah Gill, Listverse article by Marcus Loth, UFODigest.com article by Sean Castile. This is actually one of the
internet
that I've used, and Phantoms and Monsters post by Lon Strickler. Like this is probably the story that I use the most sources, and you'll see why in a second.
Okay, let's get into it.
Okay, so black-eyed children or black-eyed kids, also called BEKs or BECs, are described as entities resembling children from the age of 6 to 16. At first, they look like any average child, but are described as having pale skin and pitch black eyes with no discernible pupil or sclera. The completely black eyes are always aren't obvious at first, and it's been reported that kids will act violently once the individual notices the black eyes. These children are often seen late at night in desolate streets hitchhiking or encountered late at night at doorsteps of people's houses. Some people have reported to have seen them lurking in the shadows of their bedroom during episodes of sleep paralysis or waking up in the middle of the night out of a dead sleep with the feeling of someone watching them, only to see these children peering at them from the shadows.
I'm sleeping with a closet light on tonight. I'm just saying.
They are said to appear in either average or outdated clothing and speak in a tone as if they're not familiar with the language. They appear
like
lost.
Flesh gates.
I don't remember.
Okay, anyways, keep going. I'm sorry.
They appear lost at first, but they approach people's cars or homes and urgently assist to be let in or to allow them to use the phone to call their parents. Encounters vary on what exactly they request. Those that have encountered BECs were mentioned feeling between unsettled or an overwhelming primal fear, even before the black-eyed children make their presence known. They've also mentioned that they unconsciously feel like allowing the children in the house until they notice their black eyes that shocks them and snaps them out of a trance-like state. So the first documented reported case of encounters with BECs was by Brian Bethel in 1996 in Abilene, Texas, USA. He was Abilene, I believe you. He's actually a journalist. So the story starts off around 9:30 in 1996. I have read accounts of that the time when it happened varied from being to January, sometimes sometime in early spring or summer. The discrepancy of the year, because I've seen that it's either 96 or 98, it may have been that when the events occurred and then when Brian published the story, because he didn't make it public right away. Brian left his apartment and headed to a Dropbox to pay an internet bill, and he parked in the parking lot of a nearby Dollar Movie Theater and used the light of the marquee to write out his check. as he was doing this, there was a knock on his window, and when he turned, he saw two young boys next to his car. He says that they looked between the age of 10 to 14, and he described them as, and this was like his own account, boy number one was slightly taller than his companion, wearing a pullover hooded shirt with a sort of gray checkered pattern and jeans. I couldn't see his shoes. His skin was olive colored and had curly, medium length brown hair. He exuded an air of quiet confidence. Boy number two had pale skin with traces of freckles. His primary characteristic seems to be looking around nervously. He was dressed in a similar manner to his companion, but his pullover was a light green color. His hair was a sort of pale orange. And he says they didn't appear to be related, at least directly. He instinctively knew that something was off and felt an immense sense of fear. The first boy started talking about how they needed Brian's help, that they wanted to see the new Mortal Kombat movie but forgot to bring money. But instead of asking for money, which is what normal people would do, at 9:30 at night, the boy asked for a lift to his house to get the money that they left there. So Brian gets increasingly nervous and hesitant. The boy continues and says, "Come on, mister, we just want to go to our house. We're just two little boys. Come on, mister, let us in."
Oh, fuck no.
"We can't get into your car until you let us. Just let us in and we'll be gone before you know it. We'll go to our mother's house." Brian says that the manner that the boy spoke in didn't seem genuine, as if it had been something that he had rehearsed or practiced. Without realizing what Brian was doing, he unlocked the car as if listening to what the boy was telling him to do. After he broke contact to look down at his hand and realize what he was doing, he turned back to the boys and realized that their eyes were solid black. No sclera, no iris, no pupil. Brian says that the first boy became irate while the second boy stood completely silent. The first boy says, "We won't hurt you. You have to let us in. We don't have a gun." According to Brian, the boy was implying that they didn't need guns. I don't know what that meant. That was just an article, and I thought it was necessary.
What do you mean?
According to Brian, the boy was implying that they didn't need guns.
Yeah, they were going to fuck his ass up without the gun.
They need permission to fuck him up.
Well, they're like vampires, hello.
They can pick a fucking lane. At first, they can appear like sleep paralysis and older period clothing and talk like they don't know what's going on.
They're everywhere. Like,
"Hi, mister. I need to go. Can I get a lift to go watch Mortal Kombat?" Pick a fucking lane. Oh my God.
They're a little bit everywhere. They're on the clock. They're doing overtime at that point.
Yeah.
Pop culture trends.
Oh, well, anyways. So, I mean, they were literally going to beat his ass without a gun. That's literally what he was telling him. He's like, "We don't need a fucking gun to fuck your ass up,
the
bitch."
Boy, I guess that makes sense. The boy started pulling at the door and demanding to be let in. Brian was able to muster up the courage to put his car in reverse and speed home.
Wait a minute. He was pulling at the door?
Yes.
Does he make the car payment?
Okay.
I think the fuck not.
You don't have to yell at me.
I would yell at the kid. Don't touch my fucking car. Oh, I just got a new car.
Anyway, yes, child. So... Brian didn't share the story at first because he's like, "What the fuck just happened? Like, who's going to believe me?" And because he's a journalist, so he only shared it on a blog style website to a few friends that he knew and trusted, but it spread from there. So some close friends later started to doubt him due to small details changing per account, which is a natural progression of retelling a story. So like every time you tell a story, you may change something like without realizing. And I guess after retelling it for so long that sometimes they're like, "Oh, I don't believe you."
Well, don't they say that when you recall something, you replace it with whatever you... So you recall a memory. Mm-hmm. And then you're replacing it with what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, like, after you've recalled something hundreds of times, you're recalling a memory of a memory of a memory.
Yeah, that's why supposedly witness testimonies have to be taken, like, as soon as possible.
Yes, memories degrade and change over time.
So basically, yeah, a few details did change from the retelling, but Brian claims that his story at its core has not changed, that everything that he said was 100% factual. He claimed that he had no reason or nothing to gain from making up this story, and that if anything, something like this going public would actually hurt his career as a journalist. According to him, he has never accepted any financial compensation for retelling his experience. So another man, one of Brian's personal friends, John Northwood, was the next person reported to encounter Bex. At the time, Brian hadn't told anyone about his encounter, but when Brian finally shared the story of his blog website, John approached him about an eerily similar encounter he had too. At the time, John was living in Portland, Oregon when the encounter happened, and he started off the conversation by asking Brian if he believed in ghosts or, quote, kids with funny eyes. Unfortunately, I couldn't find his story.
Ooh.
Yeah. So as for the origin, conspiracy theorists believe that Bex are really extraterrestrials trying to conform to human habits that they believe to be normal, as if they learn from exposure or limited media. So would that make sense? Like, that would be the most probable thing, that they're like aliens trying to
mimic humans,
but doesn't come out right.
That's what it sounds like. Mister, we're just trying to watch this movie. Take us to our mom's house.
Do you have a telegraph machine, sir? Can we use your... what was before the phone? A telegraph?
Phonogram?
Do you have a phonogram machine? I don't know. So maybe some believe...
play music. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Whoops.
So some believe that they might be demons incarnated or demons possessing children. Other believe them to be vampires due to the habit of them not being able to enter a residence without the consent of the owner.
Well, demons necessarily need that too.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome them into the house.
Not welcome.
Well, you know.
True.
You're not welcome.
Be open.
These demons. Don't come in here. Me. Nope, not welcome. Don't come in. Don't even ask.
Okay, so another origin. According to Iroquois or Haudenosaunee origin... or like tradition. The thing is I couldn't really find anything on this besides one source written by one person in a book. So I don't know. And usually there's a lot of people willing to say like, oh, Native Americans believe. No. No. Sometimes not all Native Americans believe the same thing. Not every Native American practices the same thing. Especially if they're from completely different parts of the world. Or the continent, I guess. So according to the book Your Haunted Lives, The Black Eyed Kids by G. Michael Vasey, the BEK may hail from an Iroquois or Haudenosaunee legend called the Oktun. So for reference, this includes the Seneca people, the Oneida people, Onondaga, the Cayuga, and the Mohawk people. So not all Iroquois may believe in this legend. So according to the legend, the Iroquois believed in a dark power called Otkon that could take over children and an entity called the Evil One that would mate with human females to produce black-eyed, chalky-skinned children. These children were then killed by the tribe after their birth and burned to stop them from resurrecting. Children also wandering alone in the woods were often be taken by Otkon, but would reemerge with black eyes and pale skin. Supposedly, their goal was to infect every member of the tribe with Otkon and destroy the tribe. But again, I only found this on one source, so I don't know. The following are all accounts that I found.
Well, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What do you think they are? What do you think?
What do I think? I mean, I already said that they may be aliens trying to conform to humans.
Brittany, what do you think they are?
Demons.
Demons.
Diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so after Brian came forward with this story, a lot of people came forward with similar stories that happened before his encounter. So his was in 1996. So in 1982, a woman from Cannock Chase in Staffordshire, England, heard a young girl calling for help one night before seeing a young girl in a white dress with her hands covering her face. When the woman approached the girl and put her hand and the girl's shoulder, the girl turned around and removed her hand from her face, which is when the woman noticed the girl's pitch black eyes. The girl then turned back around and ran away before disappearing. September 2014, the same woman's nephew, named Lee Brickley, in the same town of England, completely unaware of his aunt's experience, also witnessed and encountered the black-eyed girl in the white dress. That was like 30 years apart.
That is an English skinwalker.
English skinwalker. In April 2015, a video shared on YouTube shows a drone flying over a field of Cannock Chase that captured a similarly described girl in a white dress. The video quality is grainy, but some claim it to be the same girl with pitch black eyes. Do you remember that video?
Yes, bitch.
Yeah.
That shit's scary as fuck. this girl is in the middle of the woods, and this guy flying the drone sees her.
And it's pretty grainy, but it looks like she has like black eyes.
She's just standing behind the tree line in a white dress, just staring at the drone. There's like no houses nearby or anything.
Very important thing we need to discuss is why is everybody that always captures things on their phone? Why is it always grainy?
Why is it potato quality?
If this man had a drone and it was still grainy.
True.
It was enough in the future for it to not have.
Maybe he was using his toaster to record.
Maybe.
His flying toaster.
I have to watch the video again. But so one of the earliest accounts.
She was so far away is what it was. Right? Yeah. Wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That she was far away. And when they try to zoom in, it got grainy because of the pixelation.
So one of the earliest accounts of an encounter that may have been a black-eyed children or black-eyed child. A black-eyed kid.
Yeah, a Beck.
A Beck. Took place in rural Virginia in the USA in the 1950s to a boy named Harold. He was 16 at the time and was walking home one night when he saw a child leaning against a fence. Harold spoke to him but received no reply. When Harold started walking away, the boy said, "I want to go to your house. You're going to walk me to your house." The hair on the back of Harold's neck stood up as the child looked up at Harold and exposed his pitch-black eyes. Harold's mind started to race, and as he was thinking on how quickly he could get home, the kid said, "Now don't you run away from me, you're going to walk me to your house." Harold then sprinted away from the kid, and as he was doing so, Harold recalls hearing the child scream, but the scream sounded like a bobcat. He told his parents about it, and they told him, "Oh Lord, Harold, you've met the devil."
Tell me why that is exactly what I was thinking when you were talking about that.
It reminded me of your story, honestly.
Yeah.
So the next one, this encounter was called into a live broadcast on Darkness Radio in September 2015. So this is the exact quote of what this person experienced, or I guess what they wrote. "It was about 3 years ago, November 2012, when I was working at a small gas station in Northeast Louisiana. We were the only small shop and 24-hour service station miles just off the highway. I worked the night shift. I loved it. The sharing stories with the traveling customers, that is when the rare customer shows up. It must have been around 3 a.m. I was cleaning the floors and locking the beer coolers when suddenly the lights went out. I pulled out my cell and used it as a guiding light until I made it back to our counter where I kicked the gas generator. It lit the parking lot, the bath, and the hall leading to the register. When I looked outside, I could just make out the movement of trees across the street, but otherwise it was pitch black. I turned on the radio and started listening to a local station with its night owl DJ, commenting on the heavy winds and cracking jokes about songs. Suddenly, I saw some figures in the dark. I could just make them out. They seemed to be a group of kids on bikes. There were three of them. Two of them dropped their bikes and made their way to the door when they just stood there staring at me. I just stared back for a moment, waiting for them to come in. They never did. I moved around the counter and opened the door. 'What's up, guys? You out kind of late, aren't you?' I asked them, expecting them to come in. 'Can we use your phone?' one asked. Their heads tilted kind of low. I felt a little worried as I pulled myself from my pocket and offered it to her. 'Sure.' She looked at me and then I saw her eyes. They were solid black, almost like ink-filled orbs. 'No, I need the real one,' she said. Her face twisted into an angry snarl. I pulled the door closed and flipped the locks. 'No, no, ma'am. You go home and get your mom's phone.' They stared at me through the door. She's like, 'Your mama.'
She said, 'I'm sorry. I've seen one too many horror movies. Get the fuck out of here.'
So they stared at me through the door for a minute longer before turning away and biking off. The next day, I had my boss check the cameras to get the picture of the creepy kids, but the cameras had been cut off the whole time. Now the cameras run off the generator instead of the hall lights. I never saw the kids again." So the next one, this is considered one of the most well-known encounters of the internet, like of black-eyed children.
Is this the couple?
Yes.
Okay.
This is, dude, I remember this is like my first story that I heard about the BEK, like, and I was like, wait a second, this is good. So in a snowy town in the middle of nowhere in Vermont in 2016, an elderly couple heard three loud knocks on their front door in the middle of the night. They open the door and see two small children, a boy and a girl. The children say, "Our parents will be here soon, maybe come in." The children don't make eye contact with the couple as they just stand in the doorway. The couple are overwhelmed with a feeling of dread, but out of concern for the children, they let them in. The children sit on the couch in the living room while the wife began to make hot cocoa while the husband asks the children questions that go unanswered. The couple notice that one of the cats is visibly scared of the children. One of the children asks, "May we please use the restroom?" The wife then turns to the kids, and that's where she notices that the children's eyes are as black as the starless universe. She directs him to the restroom and returns to her husband, who was covering his face with his hand, when she asks him if he had seen his their eyes. The husband then removes his hand from his face and reveals to her that it was full of blood from a nosebleed. That's when the power suddenly goes out. The wife heads to the restroom and hears the voice of the kids at the end of the hall say, "Our parents are here." The children then run out of the house and leave the front door wide open. The wife notices two very tall and thin men at the end of the snow-covered driveway. She waves at the men, but they don't react to the gesture. The men and children go into the car and drive away. The power comes back on a little after the children leave. Throughout the next week, the couple experience strange events at the house. Three of their four cats go missing. The fourth is later found dead in a pool of its own blood. The husband continues to experience heavy nosebleeds and finally decides to go to the doctor, where he is diagnosed with a very aggressive form of skin cancer, most often brought on by extreme radiation or excessive unprotected sun exposure. I have three more stories.
Okay? Is that it?
Yep, and that's the story to that one.
Wow.
I still remember reading that one. I was like, what? Because the men, when reading about the men, the only thing I could think about is the Men in Black.
Men in Black.
And honestly, they're aliens. That could be their own story.
They're not that creepy. They're just weird.
Daddy, that's it. Sorry, I feel like every time I talk about read what the kids are saying, like I'm always like, our parents are here. Like, they don't sound like that. But I don't know how to sound creepy, guys.
You know what I wish we sounded like? Like we could do a voiceover like Lola from that Netflix show. Big Mouth.
Who's that? Lola?
I'm not even going to try to do her voice because I cannot...
What is it? Big Mouth Lola?
Yeah, voice.
Like, oh my god.
Oh my god. What the fuck? And we should do voice by Nick Kroll, so. Okay, next story.
That's what children sound like to me, actually.
So these next three stories I actually found on that subreddit that I mentioned.
Okay, let's go.
So I'm ready. This was by a Reddit post by user Antonio 0806123 on the 23rd of March 2021. So this is relatively
very recent.
Yep. Yeah. So the title was A Possible BEK Encounter. I don't think English was his first language, so I'm just going to read it as is. "This day that I was home alone the whole day, I'm not really believing in ghosts and stuff. To get to my apartment, you need to go through a gate, then a door with a keypad, and then another door. I'm trying to tell you no one would let a kid with black eyes in. Let's get to the story. The time is 8:20, the 21st of March, 2021. I am on my online classes and I hear knocking on my door." Oh my god, me too. As a student.
Please stop.
So I walk out of my room, go to the door, and look through the small window on the door. I see a boy, possibly 11 years old, with pitch black eyes. So I open the door a little and ask, "What is going on?" He says, "Hey, my dad needs to call mom. Can we use the phone? There's nobody besides the kid on the staircase." Me: "Where is your dad?" Him: "He is right next to me." Me: "I don't see him." Him: "He stands right here." He points at the floor next to him. Me: "Oh yes, I see him now." Him: "So can we use the phone?" Me: "I'm afraid that you can't use it." Him: "Why?" Me: "Because I don't want strangers in my house." I close the door because I need to go back to school and I want him to finally go away. 2 minutes later, I heard a loud pounding on the door. I get back to the door and look through the small window. He's standing there still, but he is bleeding from his eyebrow. I was scared because it looked like he was pounding on the door with his head. Now I am terrified and try to ignore him. 4 hours later, he is gone. I went out to see the door. I was right. There was some blood on the door. I never seen the kid again.
Ooh. What the fuck?
Doing that for 4 hours?
I guess, like, I don't know, maybe
he like left for 4 hours and came back. Hours
and checked back after that.
And he was gone. He might have just left within 5 minutes, but he didn't come. He don't know. He came back 4 hours later.
But he was, I'm under the impression that he was doing online school. Because he was in the house and he was hearing the banging.
Oh, yeah.
So he just stopped paying attention for 4 hours and then came back.
So this was, the next one is by user Dear Ghouls. DearGhewls, and the 19th of March, 2021. So the title is, I Let One Inside My Home. I posted this elsewhere, and a kind commenter told me about this sub. I thought you would enjoy my story. I, 27-year-old female, was home alone on a Thursday night, February 4th to be exact. I live with my boyfriend, 28-year-old male, but he was at work until late at night. He is a bartender, so he doesn't get home until around 4 in the morning. It was around 10 at night. I had already eaten dinner, and I was watching a movie in the spare room of our apartment when I heard a knock at the door. I have a friend who comes over unannounced fairly regularly and even has his own house key. But the door was double locked, so I got up without thinking and unlocked and opened the door. I was confused when instead of my friend, there was a girl standing there. She was maybe 8 or 9 years old and wearing house shoes. Hi. I said as she mumbled something in return that I couldn't quite hear. What was that? I asked. My mom. I need to call my mom. Your mom isn't here? My dad. I need to call my dad. Can I use the phone? I was a little dazed and confused, but the strangest part was my heart was absolutely racing. Pitter-patter, pitter-patter. I was absolutely terrified, and I'm not sure why. Wait, the pitter-patter I just threw in. I'm sorry, guys.
It's a TikTok video.
I was absolutely terrified, and I'm not sure why. I hesitated and almost told her no, but I also knew if she really did need help and I turned her away, she would likely go across the hall instead, and my neighbors don't seem the most kid-friendly. So I said sure. I told her she could step just inside while I find my phone because it was freezing and she was dressed for summer. When I find my phone, I handed it to her and she dialed a number and then started speaking in another language for a minute. I'm not sure which, maybe Spanish, but I didn't recognize any of the words.
I don't know. Mandarin. It was Spanish.
I think it was like Spanish. She didn't ask to be born Latina.
Nomás tuve suerte.
Nomás tuve suerte. But I didn't recognize any of the words. She spoke for maybe 30 seconds and then hung up and was just standing there. Was that him? I asked. She just looked at me confused. Who? Your dad? Oh, right. At this point, she was seriously freaking me out to the point where I just wanted to avoid looking in her face. I walked over to my cat who was half hiding behind a chair and just tried to distract myself and pet her. The girl dialed a different number, spoke in the same foreign language for maybe 15 seconds, and hung up. After that, she basically shoved the phone back in my hand, shouted, "Thanks," and literally ran out the front door. I was just standing there, confused as all hell and uneasy in the pit of my stomach. I walked the 6-6 feet to the door and locked both deadbolts as I turned away from the door. There was another knock. I looked through the peephole, and it was a man. Maybe late 40s, in one of the work outfits for the building maintenance team of my apartment. Oddly, I didn't recognize him, even though I've lived in the complex for over 3 years and I had thought I had met all the maintenance men. I talk to them regularly because their office and storage shed is right at the front stairs where I parked my van. I also find it kind of strange that anyone from the team was still here late at night. So, they usually get off at almost 5... When they usually get off almost 5 hours earlier. Like an idiot, I open the door. Hello? Hi, was there a little girl here a moment ago? Yeah, she asked to use my phone and then just ran off. She is here. And that I was confused. At that, I was confused. Where is she? I asked. And he looked at me like I was crazy and just pointed at the ground next to him. She is standing right here, he said sternly. He was very, very clearly the only person in the hallway, a long, straight hallway with no corners to hide around. At that point, my panic was going through the roof. Oh, yeah, right, I said. He just shook his head and said, she should not have done that. She will not be doing that again. I meekly said, it wasn't a big deal, and he cut me off and raised his voice slightly and repeated, she should not have done that, understand? At this point, I'm pretty sure this dude is about to murder me over an invisible girl standing next to him. So I just said, yes, understood, of course. And he replied, we apologize for this. Enjoy your night. And he walked away. I called my boyfriend right away and told him the whole story. He agreed that it was weird that it was super busy, but he was super busy, so couldn't talk long. I reassured the whole apartment was locked up and opened a beer to calm my nerves. Time passed until my boyfriend got home and we hung up for about an hour, then went to sleep. The entire night, neither of us really slept a wink. We were both absolutely burning up and shivering and freaking out in cold sweats and having night terrors. By 8 in the morning, we were both dizzy and coughing and had fevers, and later that day, my boyfriend tested positive for COVID. His lasted roughly 2 weeks. Mine, however, just cleared up a week ago. After having turned into one of the worst and longest running sickness I've ever had. I'm slowly getting over it and getting my breath back. I haven't seen the child or that maintenance worker since that night. That's the last time I ever let some kid into my house.
Whoa, she was the BEK of COVID.
She truly was.
She came in and she was like...
COVID was actually started by a BEK.
Is that the last CDC, story?
CDC, pack it up. No, I have one more. And honestly, the last one...
Okay. Hurry up.
So this user...
I can't wait to hear it. I'm excited.
Ooh, okay. This user was I_am_fools_gold_. Posted on the 1st of November 2020. The title is I Fucking Knew It. This person actually posted a similar story. Like, this is the follow-up, I guess. But the first one wasn't really... Didn't really provide a lot of info. Okay, so they said, I knew it. I fucking knew it. I posted my encounter from when I was 13 thinking it was okay and see me now and it happened again. My roommate saw it too. It's been 4 or 5 years since my last encounter and like not even once since I posted about it. I think I'm safe, right? Wrong. I moved the last year and I recently thought, hey, remember those kids a few years ago? Funny, they can't get you now. Boy, was I motherfucking wrong. I live in a mountain and live like an hour away from the beach in a super populated neighborhood with my roommates. Two chill lesbians and a college dude. Hell yeah.
You.
Shout out to all the chill lesbians and the college dudes. Me. As a college student. Super cool people. I think nothing can hurt me now because there are people everywhere. But no, I'm stupid and jinx myself. I was home 2 days ago. Class was canceled and the dude of the house was home too, taking a nap. I'm in the kitchen watching Netflix and doing homework when there's a knock on the window. Obviously, this is a weird-ass noise, but I have weird as hell friends. Maybe one of them is trying to scare me. I brush it off and continue what I was doing, then it happens again. Once again, I brush it off because maybe it was the snow if it wasn't my friends. Things like this happen all the time with them. Well, it goes on for like 10 minutes and now I'm kind of starting to freak out. My friends don't have this much patience. I go to Charlie's room, the guy, and wake him up. I'm not one that's usually riled up, so he's concerned too. We both go to the window. I have my phone out with the camera and 911 within a touch. And Charlie has a bat. We look out the window and no one's there. After a minute, we calm down and go sit in the living room. Charlie's mom is a cop, so he says he'll tell her about it later. We think we're okay, so we'll chill and watch TV together. 30 goddamn minutes later, the doorbell rings. I go and open the door. At first, I don't see anything. Then down on the bottom of the stairs of the apartment, I see three young boys dressed in black hoodies, jeans, and brown or black bangs. At first, I didn't move. I was frozen in place. Then Charlie asked who it was, and I came to my senses and I got a good look and then slammed the door shut behind me. I started bawling, and I mean sobbing. I don't know what to do. Charlie is freaking out because I don't cry, especially in front of people like that. I ran to the door with the bat we have to the window seal and looked outside. And looked outside. He saw them too. He started freaking out because he didn't know what to do, so he started yelling at them to leave, and he said they started smiling. I was crying even more now. He was screaming, and I think the neighbors wanted to call the cops. Now think about this. We don't know what they were. We thought they were normal kids that had scared me. He didn't see their eyes yet. I started yelling at him to get inside when I hear a bunch of footsteps running up the stairs and Charlie screams and runs inside. He's telling me he saw their eyes and that they were black and now we're both freaking out and grabbing kitchen knives. Eventually, we calm down and look inside again. No one's there, but we see a group of kids pass a complex with three that think we are that we think are the BKs. I told him about the other thing that happened to me, and now we're scared to be in this house. We told the other roommates, and they thought we were high or something, so once again, no one believes me. Sorry, this is all over the place. This happened like 3 days ago, and I've been on edge ever since. The end.
So a thing I think is kind of scary about BKs is that nobody really knows what happens if you let them in. Other than the people that got that guy that got cancer, yeah. But people are usually like, do people disappear after they let them in and they're never there to tell the tale?
That's true.
Has because nobody lot, let them in?
A lot of the stories that I read on that subreddit, or even like other ones I've seen on like YouTube, they're always about like, oh, I think I saw something, or they looked like BK, or it's like I saw one come to my door, but I didn't let him in or something. One of them, actually, I think it was the video.
Shoot. Ooh, I'm getting sleepy.
I think it was the YouTube video by Tales from the Dark about, it talks about some guy that posted like on Craigslist saying like, I never believed in BK, but I started posting on Craigslist saying like, if you're a BK, I want you to meet me at this bench at this intersection.
Yes.
You know the story?
Yes.
So I guess he does this for like, I'm telling Brittany now and the listeners. Hi, welcome. But he goes to this bench every Wednesday for like a few months, and he's like, you know what? They're not coming, blah, blah, whatever. So I guess one way is that he just doesn't show up. And that same night, or I guess the following day, he gets an email or like a text or something from...
No, it's an email from Craigslist.
Okay, it's an email from Craigslist that says, hey, we missed you on Wednesday. And no, it wasn't. It wasn't. It wasn't an email. Okay, I remember now. I swear. He gets a knock on his door, and he says that the feeling of fear felt primal. That, like, what he was feeling felt like he's never felt that to that degree or that magnitude of fear before. That when he heard the knock, he knew who it was instinctively. And that when he opened the door, it was a BK. And he was like, hey, can I come inside? And the guy said no. And he knew who it was, so he was already closing the door, and he's like, hey, we miss you on Wednesday. And the guy was like, what do you mean? And he's like, don't play dumb. Like, we know we've been seeing you or something. We've been watching you. And the guy just like closed the door, and he said that he has not been able to sleep since then. Just because he didn't believe in it. Supposedly, if you think about them, they're more likely to be attracted to you to show up to your house. So, to all our listeners.
Wiggle your big toe.
Sorry. No. No, don't listen to him. The big toe is unrelated.
I'm trying to get them not to think about it and wiggle their big toe instead.
What is... Okay. Oh, something to take your guys' mind off of it. By the way, that's the end of my story. I was Googling El Charro Negro, and turns out there's a drink. So, it is called the Charro Negro, obviously. It is 1 tablespoon of coarse sea salt, 2 ounces of tequila, 4 ounces of Coca-Cola, and 1 tablespoon of fresh lime juice.
1 tablespoon of salt? That is a lot of salt for a drink.
What's a tablespoon? TBSP? That's teaspoon. No, what's a B for?
No, that's tablespoon. Tablespoon. B is tablespoon.
That's a whole
thing. T is teaspoon.
I don't know. One that's tablespoon of coarse sea salt.
But I guess you'll be a Charro Negro after that drink.
It looks a little ugly, so. 1 pound of salt. So.
If the charro doesn't get you, the hypertension definitely will.
Absolutely. Period. So. The end.
That was it. Wow. Our stories were good today. What the fuck?
Yeah, I feel like they were extra juicy. They were extra scary today.
The girls are fighting. I don't know. Yes.
Oh my God.
They're fighting for number one.
The Charro Negro is going to fight that child?
Yes.
Not clickbait.
He's going to whip him off his horse.
Mm-hmm. The issue number one is people talking to children.
Yeah. Yeah, don't just talk. Don't talk to kids.
I do not like talking to kids unless their parents are there. If you want me to talk to your kid, your parent needs to be nearby to supervise a conversation because I don't trust children.
Period. True. No. Kids are dangerous. So,
do you feel like our cats are being really loud while we're recording?
Yeah, they do that. And well, if we learned anything today, it's not to trust fancy cowboys, evil fancy cowboys, or children in general.
Fancy cowboys that obviously give off hardcore misogynistic vibes.
True. Period. Misogynist.
Yes.
Oh my god, he asked those ladies to dance? And then he
for said, him.
Y'all are mine.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet the fuck out of you.
True.
You're dead, bitch.
True.
You're dead to me.
Dead to me.
What are you gonna do? Kill me? Go ahead. I'm ready.
Oh. Well, anything else before we wrap it up?
No, I'm done. I'm really tired. I'm ready to take a nap.
Well, thanks for listening.
Yeah, taking that till tomorrow morning.
Thank you everyone for listening. Thank you Brittany for being our audience. Please follow us on Instagram at Gaspooky Podcast and on Twitter at Gaspooky Pod. Email us any story suggestions or your own scary stories at gaspookypodcast@gmail.com. And special thanks to Taylor Turner for the artwork and Kyle Fields for the intro music.
Not Cody Barnes.
And don't forget to tell someone you love how much they mean to you. Goodbye.